Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference one word at a time. Now, here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
I'm talking today with Brad Meltzer. I think this is the fourth time we've spoken today. He is the New York Times bestselling author of Heroes for My Son, Heroes for My Daughter, and a number of really great suspense novels like The Escape Artist. He's also the host of two History Channel television shows, Brad Meltzer's Decoded and Brad Meltzer's Lost History, where he helped find the missing 9/11 flag. And today we're talking about his best-selling nonfiction children's picture book series, Ordinary People Change the World. It's written by Brad Meltzer and illustrated by Christopher Eliopoulos. And I have to say, these are some of my favorite picture books for kids. So, Brad Meltzer, welcome, welcome.
So good to be back. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, last time we talked, you were on book 14, which was Harriet Tubman, and now you're on books 18 and 19. You've got these two new releases, I Am Walt Disney and I Am Marie Curie, and it's hard to believe what's transpired in the past 5 years. So for those who aren't familiar with the series, Brad, let's just give them a little bit of backstory on how you got involved in this and why.
Absolutely. You know, I started this series because I was tired of my own kids looking at people who are famous for being famous and thinking that that's a hero. I wanted to give my kids better heroes to look up to, heroes of character and of kindness and of compassion. And the one thing that we started, you know, I told my daughter, Amelia Earhart flew across the Atlantic Ocean. And my daughter said to me, big deal, Dad, everyone flies across the Atlantic Ocean. And she just wasn't impressed. That's not an impressive thing. But when I told my daughter, and this is true, that when Amelia Earhart was 7 years old, she built a homemade roller coaster in her backyard, that she took a wooden crate and put roller skating wheels on the bottom of it. She shoved it up to the roof of her tool shed and then crashed and, you know, came rolling up. My daughter was like, oh, Dad, tell me more about that. And suddenly Amelia Earhart was alive again.
Right.
She was bold and she was daring. She wasn't some black and white figure in a history book, but she was just like my daughter, 7 years old.
Right.
And that was where the book series started. So we started with I'm Amelia Earhart and I Am Abraham Lincoln. We did Rosa Parks, Albert Einstein. My son loves sports. I did I Am Jackie Robinson. My daughter loves to perform and play with our dog. So I did I Am Lucille Ball for her. And I Am Jane Goodall. And my youngest is a dreamer. He's the one who loves to do Lego and draw. And I did I Am Jim Henson for him. But something amazing happened since we last spoke with our book series, and that is, that in the 2016 election, as it was approaching for the presidency, two of our books, as Hillary and Donald Trump were kind of arguing every night on the news, two of our books started selling more than any others.
Mm.
And they were I Am Martin Luther King Jr. and I Am George Washington.
Wow, isn't that interesting?
Interesting. It wasn't just a Democrat-Republican thing. It was the parents and grandparents on both sides were tired of turning on the TV and seeing politicians when what they wanted to show their kids were leaders. And we all know there's a huge difference between a politician and a leader. And I love that since that time, people use the Ordinary People Change the World series, the I Am series, to fight back against that cynicism and build a library of real heroes for their kids and their grandkids and their nieces and nephews.
Yeah, and I mean, today, even sad 4 years on since the election, right? Three years? It seems like longer than that. But we're in more need of leadership and heroes on both sides, whichever side of the fence you sit. I don't think you can disagree. We need leadership all around. And so tell me why you began with these. You say you picked Marie Curie for your daughter. I learned about her at school, but when I read your book, I learned, I mean, it was a long time ago since I was at school, granted, but I learned things that I did not know about her. And this is what's so awesome about your book, because you really bring these characters to life and make them almost friends with the kid or the person who's reading them. So why did you choose her?
Yeah, you know, Marie Curie is a Nobel Prize winning scientist. But what I loved about her story is when she was a little girl, and we always start, to be clear, Vicki, is we always start when they're little. We, you know, we don't. Everyone, the fame is easy. We want to do better than fame. We always, my daughter will only relate to these books, and my sons will only relate to these books when I see those stories of when they're young, when they're just like them. So one of the things that I saw when Marie Curie was a little girl, the Russian government would not teach science to little girls. They wouldn't teach it to her because they were worried it was going to make her too powerful. And you know what? They were right. Of course it would. When she gets older, she turns 16, she wants to be a scientist, says she's going to change the world through science. But still, it's really hard to find anyone to teach scientists. In fact, when she gets to college, to university, they find there are no colleges that will teach science to women. And Marie Curie finds the flying college, which doesn't physically fly, but metaphorically it does, because it against the rules, breaks the rules, and teaches science to women. And the main part of the story is, you know, listen, she wins the Nobel Prize, first woman to ever do so. Nobel Prize committee doesn't even want her to speak at the ceremony because she's a woman. And then she wins another Nobel Prize, the first man or woman to win in two separate categories. But the great part of the story to me is that throughout her entire life, Marie Curie is told over and over again she's denied things because she's a woman. She never lets it stop her. And I want my daughter to hear that lesson, and I want my sons to have that lesson. We all need to know that whatever your dream is, chase it and chase it and chase it.
I was surprised to learn how many firsts she did have, the two Nobel Prizes. And then no other woman won the Nobel Prize for 24 years after she won the second one. And then when somebody did win, it was her daughter. So talk about running in family.
I just thought the best part of that was, like, I thought it was like a great middle finger just to the Nobel Prize Committee, right? She basically
yeah.
don't want her to speak at her own ceremony, so she wins it again, and then the next person who wins is her daughter. It's like, take that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is, you know, we can make a joke now, but it's not funny, right? And you see it over and over again, and even, again, look at the last 2 years. Over and over again, we see that story of women being told they can't do it, they shouldn't do it, don't do it. And I really wanted to do a woman scientist who said, oh, yeah, I have a very different idea. Watch this. And that's
yes.
what I Am Marie Curie stands for.
Yes. And her mother died. Her father was very prominent in her life, though, anyway, as a scientist, as a teacher. And even when she went to school, he would still send her math problems and stuff to keep challenging her and testing her. And I love that. And I also love the fact that you bring to light, because kids aren't often raised learning this today, that many cultures do burn books and ban books excessively. And we're so lucky to have that accessible to us.
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, that's the big thing. Is these aren't the stories of famous people in the past. These are the stories of what we're all capable of in our best days and the things that are happening right now. And that's why, you know, people say, oh, when we first started the I Am series, people thought they were history books. And I think now they realize that they're not history books at all. They're value books, and they're values we need today, and they're character traits our kids need today.
Yeah.
And I think that's my favorite part, is helping people build libraries, as I said, for their kids and their grandkids, for their nieces and their nephews. And what we've seen, the reaction we've seen is so incredible, because we have, you know, people who write to us and say, hey, Brad, a woman wrote, this is the first year my daughter's not going as a princess for Halloween. Thanks to your books, she's going as Amelia Earhart. And my gosh, isn't that one of the most humbling, amazing things?
That's awesome. You say that while each story is unique, what binds them are the stories of perseverance and hard work. And I was interested to see that both with Marie Curie in the one book and Walt Disney in the other book, how they both just got up so early to work as children, work on what they were fascinated with. So let's move into Walt Disney and why you chose him and why he appealed to you.
Listen, Walt Disney is one of the great American success stories. Truly gives us Happily Ever After. It gives us the Magic Kingdom, right? The fairy tales. But his life is far from a fairy tale. In fact, his life is really hard growing up. His father is not excited at all by the fact that his son draws well. He's like, why are you doing that? You're not going to make any money doing that. And as he gets, it's his aunt who is the one who encourages him, buys him a book and says, you know what, Walt, why don't you draw in here? You're really good at that art stuff. When he turns 21 years old, his first film company, Walt Disney's first film company, is a total failure. They tell him he's going to have to declare bankruptcy. He's sleeping in his office, taking baths once a week in the local train station. And to me, what's so amazing is I want to teach my kids that if you chase a big dream, you may fail. But if you get back up again, that's how you fly.
Yes, I saw some of the original Mickey Mouse sketches right down here in Tacoma, Wright Park. They have a museum and they had some of the original sketches there. And it's really interesting to see how Mickey Mouse has transformed over the years. One of the things I think with him, he took so much criticism, as do many of these characters, but it seems with Walt Disney, he seemed to take a lot of criticism along the years, and people just told him he was unrealistic. And I remember seeing a documentary about him a while ago where he just was bashed left, right, and center for being an idiot, a dreamer, and nobody really took him seriously at all. So what do you think in him was that driving force? What do you think kept him going through all that?
You know, there's a very important scene in I Am Walt Disney, and again, a children's book of all things. It's illustrated, has cartoons in an art style that kind of looks like Charlie Brown meets Calvin and Hobbes, and so it's all, it's designed to get kids involved. But the scene that I had our cartoonist Chris Eliopoulos draw when he was doing the artwork for it is a scene where young Walt Disney is in his classroom, and his teacher says, you know, you're a daydreamer, and he's got his head in the clouds, and I wrote that scene just for my son. My son, my youngest, as I mentioned, is my dreamer, right? He's the one who does daydream. And I think that, you know, even when my son is drawing, he'll draw something, he'll say, this doesn't look really that nice. When Walt Disney gets older, he comes up with the idea for a cartoon mouse. And he says, I got an idea. We're going to call him Mortimer Mouse. And his wife says, Mortimer? That's a horrible name, right? So that's what she says. She said, a horrible name. And she says, why don't you name him, I don't know, why don't you call him Mickey? And that's how the world gets Mickey Mouse. It's not because it's so easy, but it's hard. And the first Mickey cartoon doesn't even sell. So when my son reads that and he draws that little picture he's going to draw, and he says, you know, yeah, my drawing's not that good, we put the real original Mickey Mouse drawing in the book. Mm-hmm. So your kids can see it in there and realize, you know what, this is a first draft. It looks very little like the Mickey Mouse we know today, how refined it's been over time.
Right.
We need, you know, I think the reason why Walt Disney has that within him is, and the reason why all these books, whether it's Amelia Earhart, whether it's George Washington, whether it's Jackie Robinson, the perseverance is what they have in common, but the reason they persevere, I don't think it's because they worked when they were little. I actually think it's because they're doing what they love. They're doing what their passion is. And,
yes.
And Walt Disney is, the book, as you saw, is all about finding your happy place, whatever it is, whether it's you love animals, you love cartooning, you love puppetry, you love flying planes, or Neil Armstrong was, you know, being an astronaut and wanted to fly. When you do what you love, it's really hard to stop a dream.
Well, Brad, congratulations on this series, Ordinary People Change the World. It is absolutely one of my favorite series for kids. So well illustrated. You feel as though you're in the room with Marie Curie. It's just beautiful. I read that PBS is releasing an animated show based on the series. Quick word on that, because I know we have to let you go.
We are so excited to announce, of course, that the Ordinary People Change the World book series, the IM series, is going to be a cartoon show on PBS. It's called Xavier Riddle and the Secret Museum, and it's Xavier, his sister, and their best friend Brad, who looks remarkably like me. they gave me some hair, which I was really pleased and thankful for. They're little kids. They have a problem like they're being bullied. They go back in time to deal with the bully, and they meet Rosa Parks, who teaches them how to deal with the bully, and then they come to the present and use that lesson. And every episode is a version of that, which I really love doing, but it's just like the book series. It gives kids social-emotional lessons, whether it's on compassion or perseverance or whatever it might be. And we debut on November 11th. It'll be 50 years and one day after Sesame Street premiered, so no pressure on us.
Wow, pretty exciting. Well, the books are called I Am Walt Disney and I Am Marie Curie, and you can find out much more about Brad and his work at bradmeltzer.com. Brad, always a pleasure. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me, and thanks for supporting us, whether it's the kids' books or the adult books or anything we do. I really do appreciate it.
Radio is very competitive. Shows soar in popularity and then flame out. Sometimes, however, a real connection is made with an audience, and success blooms year after year. For over a decade, Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair has built a loyal following thanks to inspiring and stimulating conversation. Longevity, loyalty, exclusivity. Smart advertisers seek it out. With Vicki's valuable audience, the search is over. Discover the affordable, effective ways to advertise your business. Log on to conversationslive.net. That's conversationslive.net today.